Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Richard Hunter, and I'll be your liturgist this morning. As you probably feel, the heat has kicked back on. They fixed the switch, so it should warm up here in just a little bit. If you're still cold, just kind of scrunch in together and don't be so spread out. That would work. If you're a visitor to Asbury, we welcome you, and we want you to know that there are two services going on at the same time. One here in the sanctuary, and one is the celebration service in the Wilson Activity Center. So we want to be in prayer for them also. There's registration pads on the inside of the pews. If you would fill those out, pass them down, and as they come back, if you see a name on there that you're not familiar with, be sure and introduce yourself to them, because unless you were born at Asbury and raised at Asbury, we were all visitors at one time. If you would take a look at your back of your bulletin, and there's some announcements to go over this morning. ACCDC and the Children's Ministry will be having a garage sale on Saturday, April the 21st from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. You may begin bringing your precious treasures on Sunday, April 15th. For more information, you can get in touch with Aura Bunton. She's the director at ACCDC, or Miss Laura here at Asbury. Next Sunday is United Methodist Women's Sunday, and Nikki Fullerton will be the guest speaker. She will be in the Divine Service at 8:30 and the Celebration Service at 10:45. Come and hear this wonderful guest speaker honoring the women of the United Methodist Church. The Faith Family Dinner Menu for this Wednesday will be headlined by, wait for it, grilled or blackened chicken sandwiches. This is a wonderful time to break bread together as a church, so please sign up with the insert card inside your bulletin if you plan on attending. Also, there is a message here for a Sunday women's Bible study. It's a 4-week, and it starts tonight from 5:30 to 7 in the large conference room, and it's entitled Outlive Your Life. If there are no other announcements, be sure and take a look at the back of the bulletin, because there's a full list there. But I invite you to stand now and pass the peace of Christ to one another. Call to worship. Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, you overcame death
and opened us to the gate of everlasting life.
Grant that we, who celebrate the day of our Lord's resurrection,
renewed by your Spirit, arise from death and sin to life of righteousness, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please remain standing and join in the hymn of praise, The Day of Resurrection, number 303 in the United Methodist Hymnal.
Amen.
again. Are we good? Are we cold? No? Okay. Well, what did I bring this morning?
A clock.
A clock. That's right. What does a clock do? Tells you the time. That's right. Well, it's quite interesting because, you know, we're always telling time, aren't we? We got to tell time when it's time to go to school. And mom goes, you got 5 minutes. And in that 5 minutes, I need you to do, yeah, Claire's looking at her mom. In that 5 minutes, I want you to brush your teeth, put on your shoes, get your backpack and your lunch kit, and we're going out the door. Right? Or it's time to go to bed, or it's time to do this, or it's time to do that. But the exciting things are is when it's time when maybe your best friend is coming over, and y'all are going to go see a movie, and you can't wait, and you just watch the clock just tick, 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 because you're excited. And you keep asking your parents, or you ask your grandparents, is it time to go? Is it time to go? Is it that time yet? And so we're always talking about time and how just time kind of moves on about in every part of our day. Well, it's really interesting because in the Bible, when Jesus went and he raised from the tomb, which we talked about with Easter last week, part of that, when he came back, he was like, I'm going to come back, but I'm not going to tell you when. And so we can't rely on the clock to tell us when that time is, can we? But you know what? So we're just kind of waiting for Jesus to come back. But in that time as we're waiting, we need to be ready to go, don't we? And how can we do that? We can do that by what? We can get dressed, okay? We can read the Bible. We can pray. We can help others. We can feed the poor. We can do things, care for the sick. You can feed your dogs. There's a lot of things that we can do. So we don't know when he's going to come back, but he's going to come back and it's going to be a grand time. But until then, we need to take our time and get ready. And that ready is for us to do things that he would want us to do. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the sunshine outside. We thank you that we know you're coming. We don't know when, but until then, we are going to do those things that you would have us do. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
us lift our lives and prayers to God. Please keep these names in your prayers. Charlie Ward Sr., John Carson, Becky Frederick, Anita Crawford, Jean Beth Hill, Garnett Hartong, Pat Parsons, Charlie Wagner, and Ann McInturf and family on the death of her husband, Bob McInturf. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Glorious Father, all the earth rejoices today because the tomb is empty. You raised your Son from the grave and restored his glory. And now he sits at your right hand interceding for us as your high priest. We are humbled by your love, your mercy, and your grace. Yet, Father, we realize we are unworthy to enter your throne room. We are unclean and sinful, but we are secure in the faith that our sin has been forgiven, has been taken away, and we are seen as sinless and clean because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Through your Holy Spirit, we can approach you as a child who would run into a loving Father's arms. We look around this morning at your creation. The tulips are blooming, the trees are coming to life with their leaves budding, and the birds of the air are building their nests. Help us remember in this season of life, all of creation rests gently in your hands, and all mankind is your greatest creation in your eyes. We pray all this in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As the ushers come forward, let us pray and ask God to bless our morning offering. Let us pray. Father, we are joyful this morning for the blessings you bestow upon us. Grant us wisdom that we may become better stewards of your blessings each and every day as your children and as your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
His goodness and mercy.
remain standing for the hymn of meditation, The Old Rugged Cross, number 504.
Would you please be seated? I invite you to turn to your pew Bibles or your own personal Bible if you brought it as we go to John's Gospel, the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 17. May the people of God be blessed in this reading and hearing of God's holy word as we find it in John 21, verse 1 through 17. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in for the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his clothes, for he was stripped for work, and sprang into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish lying on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." The word of God for the people of God. Many are familiar with the classic movie from 1961, Breakfast at Tiffany's, starring Audrey Hepburn and George Peppard. It's a whimsical, sometimes quite actually hard to follow movie about two main characters striving for what they want in life, or what they believe they want in life. She wants the world. He wants to write about the world as he sees it. Breakfast, the most important meal of the day, they say. Well, for the disciples on that day in which they met Jesus, it was most definitely the most important breakfast they would ever have. Jesus had been gone for about a week now, just as he said he would. And the angel had appeared to Mary, if you'll remember, at the tomb, and said these words, "Tell the disciples he has risen and is going ahead of you to Galilee." Now it was late in the day, and the disciples were in the region of Galilee, on the Sea of Tiberias. Dusk had fallen, it had grown dark outside, and quite frankly, some great fishing could occur over the nighttime, sometimes the best fishing of the day. And we just read that it was Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, James, and John, and a few of the other disciples that were out fishing. They were in transition. Jesus had appeared to them several times since the resurrection. But quite frankly, they were still trying to decide what it was they were supposed to do. They were still trying to decide what was their role. And when was this Holy Spirit coming that Jesus had spoken of, and just what were they supposed to do with it? In other words, how were they going to spread the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ without Jesus himself? They weren't having their best fishing day. I understand that. You yourself, as well as I, have attempted to do something for the better part of a day, and you come up empty. For us, it was about 25 years ago, and we had decided we would take advantage of the beautiful weather on a late spring day, perhaps it was early June, and go to Murfreesboro, to the Crater of Diamonds State Park. Well, we had brought sack lunches, and the girls love to get down in the dirt and dig anyway, so this was a win-win. So we dug for a while, took a break, had our lunches. But I decided to keep my sack rather than throw it in the trash, just in case I got lucky. So I had it right beside me. We began to dig a little bit more. You all are on pins and needles trying to figure out if I got a diamond, aren't you? Well, I did find what I believed to be a gleaming, tiny yellow diamond. I put it oh so carefully in that paper sack, knowing that I would leave out of the park and stop at the counter and see if it was really something or not. Well, unbeknownst to me, as I'm digging further to see if I can find something just a tad larger, Kara came up behind me and got that sack. And she took that sack and started using it like a sand pail. She emptied what was in it, and she started putting nothing but dirt and gravel in it. So I understand the kind of heartache the disciples had after a day of fishing, and they turned up with nothing. Dawn was about to break by this time. And in their exhaustion and their frustration, they're still out at sea, and they begin to row back towards shore. And as they do, they hear a voice shouting out to them, "Men, have you any fish?" Who was this wise guy? And they said no, somewhat embarrassed for replying no, because after all, they were fishermen by trade. This is what they did for a living. That voice, "Well, throw your nets on the right side of the boat and you'll pull up plenty of fish." Jesus had said that very same thing on another day to them. And so, they hadn't caught anything all day, but still his words rung in their mind. Right side, always the side of blessing and honor. So they decided, well, what's there to lose? So they grabbed up that wet, heavy net one more time and threw it, this time on the right side of the boat. Splash! It went down deep. They waited for a while. And then, heave-ho, men, and they began to pull it up with all of their might. And it was chock full of fish. 153, to be exact. They felt like dancing. Put your right net in, take your right net out, put your right net in, and shake it all about. I did that at the Easter thing. Where's Todd? Todd heard me say that. Well, fish were, as you can imagine, if they weren't just covered up and crammed, the ones on top were beginning to flip around and go all over the bottom of the boat. The disciples were ecstatic. I mean, the smell of fish was equal to the smell of food and the smell of money. After this initial excitement, John looked up to see who it was that they needed to thank for this tremendous act. Taking one look, he knew right away, it is the Lord. And with those words, Peter, can't you always expect something out of Peter? He just plunged right into the sea. As if scales had been removed from his eyes. And he knew too that it must be the Lord. And he began to swim in over to the shore where Jesus stood. Peter always plunging into something. Well, the others got to the shore the old-fashioned way. They rowed. And when they arrived, there was Jesus preparing breakfast at Tiberias, if you will. Jesus had prepared the table for the disciples before, and you know it well. We're going to celebrate the commemoration of that meal in just a few moments. But this meal Jesus prepared, don't you see, in his resurrection, in his glory, didn't evolve around sacrifice. There was no betrayal. There was no drinking of wine, and there were no feet washed. Just a cozy fire, some bread, and some fish over a charcoal fire. Jesus fixed a hearty breakfast for his disciples, and Peter no doubt ate it with vigor, as the scriptures tell us. It was Peter that drug the net to the shore. I think it's also very interesting that the scripture tells us a detail. Did you notice it? It said the net was not torn. Why would that be important? Well, that was their major equipment. I mean, that kind of a load would have normally torn if even the tiniest rip in a net. But Jesus knew this was their livelihood. And Jesus wanted them to know this miracle was one of wholeness. Jesus, their beloved Jesus, had come back to life, and he was providing for them once again. As we look at this text, some things always pop out in my mind as I look through the text. And today, I want to share with you one that I see immediately. Jesus' invitation always is significant and always has meaning. Without the fish, the disciples may have suddenly found themselves participating in an involuntary fast. Now, fasting was certainly a Jewish practice of great proportion. And it was intentional so that without food, they realized how much they needed food. They realized how much they needed God who provided all things, especially sustenance. But Jesus had given them this opportunity to break their fast. When you and I have breakfast, that's what we're doing. We are starting our day with blessings of nourishment from God provided to us. So giving the disciples breakfast was providing them with not only food, but spiritual sustenance as well. Because you get a sense as they were fumbling around and not quite knowing what they needed to do and what they always knew how to do, fishing they weren't doing well at, you get a sense they were feeling a little bit malnourished spiritually as well as physically. Now examine the exchange that follows after they've eaten their breakfast between just Jesus and Peter. It's so intentional. Here is Jesus asking Peter, "Simon Peter, do you love me more than these?" And a couple of thoughts come to my mind. The first thought is, I wonder if Jesus is talking about, do you love me more than this boat that helps you earn a living, more than this net? Do you love me more than your ability to have a livelihood, your job? Do you love me more than all of these things? And the second thought I have is, do you love me more than these other disciples that are your friends, that are your fishing buddies? Simon, do you love me more than these? For on a night too long ago, you'll recall it was Simon Peter who said these words. Matthew 26:33, though they, the disciples, all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus may have been gently reminding Peter of what he had said, of how he had denied him when out on the courtyard, out by the temple on that Friday afternoon, and he denied his Lord not once, not twice, but three times. And in Peter's answer, there are no more comparisons. He simply says, you know I love you. And the third time it's asked, it says that Peter grieves at being asked a third time. Like, why don't you believe me? Why don't you trust me? I know you've forgiven me, so I don't understand. Another thought, Jesus, in his typical grace, gave Peter three chances to counteract, if you will, the three denials by asking three times if he loved Jesus. With each response, do you hear Jesus affirming Peter as the one who will lead the new church, the one who will carry the gospel through the gift of the Holy Spirit that is to come? He trusts Peter, don't you see? Even though Peter denied him. He entrusts Peter with the work of the kingdom. First of all, he says, feed my lambs. Lambs, oh gentle, oh sweet, oh tender. In other words, feed my lambs, take care of the vulnerable. Tend to my sheep, he says. In other words, teach the spiritual disciplines that the early disciples are going to need, that the new people, the converts in the church are going to need. Teach them those spiritual disciplines. Tend my sheep. And then feed my sheep. Feed them with your love. feed them with your care, or be the pastoral giver, the pastoral care, and the leader to my people. Second thing I notice is Jesus gives us significant life for specific purpose. Each and every one of us has been given a specific life for a specific purpose. Knowing Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior is not about what Jesus can do for you or for me. That's being a consuming Christian. Going to the Lord, just praying and giving him a whole laundry list of what we want done. That's not what the cross is about. That's not what our salvation is about. And yet we treat Jesus that way so often. It's not about what he can do for us. It's about how we are equipped to love and care for the needs of others. Break your fast, Jesus says. We have been a fasting, abstinent people in terms of caring consistently for the needs of others. People need to be heard. People need to be affirmed. They need to be encouraged. People need to be noticed. People need basic affirmation. People need fellowship. People need our prayers. People need you, and you need them. So when you are weary, hear what the great shepherd says to us. Never tire of doing good for others, for such as you have done unto me. When you or I feel inadequate, Jesus says, don't forget, with God, nothing is impossible. When you and I are feeling overwhelmed, Jesus opens his arms and he says, come to me. I will give you rest. Christ is calling you and me to come and fellowship with him, not only at this meal, but to fellowship in the body of Christ out in this world. So my question, my challenge, as I always like to end my message, is who have you called? Who will you call? We had a young lady this morning that I witnessed to that came and visited church with her sister. And I said, I'm so glad to see you and that you're here. And she said, well, my sister invited me. And she said she'd be back. And I thought to myself, even though I didn't preach the 8:30 service, I thought to myself, wow, this is just what I'm talking about. Because 7% of people who attend church come for the music and for the message. 7%. 10% attend church because the church is located fairly near their home. So they come for convenience. But 75 to 80% of people who come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ do so by invitation. So who are you going to call? Who will you call? Jesus has set the table. He has also set the example. Men, come on over. I prepared breakfast for you. Children of God, come to the table. For I am your host, and the meal has been prepared. Feast on the goodness of my body, as the body of Christ, redeemed by my blood. Are you ready to be fed? Because Jesus is saying, be fed so then you can go and feed my sheep. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us turn to page 12 as we find the invitation. Christ our Lord invites us to his table, all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us together confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name
of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Let us go to the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right,
and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks unto God, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks unto God, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink ye, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it as often as you do in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ, offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood, by your Spirit. Make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Before we partake of the sacrament of Holy Communion, I want to say just a few instructions. First of all, you do not have to be a member of the church at all in order to receive these elements. This is an open table, and we practice an open communion that all are invited to participate and sharing in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Also, if you need a gluten-free wafer, we have some of those available if you'll just let the communion steward know as well. We also have this plate here for you to give any kind of donation that you care to for our community assistance fund. Now, if those who are assisting me will please come forward at this time as we prepare to partake of our Holy Communion. Wash your hands. Are you serving? Yeah, everybody. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we are thankful for this table that was set before us, for this food that was given unto us to nourish not only our bodies, but our spirits through your grace, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Having been nourished and having been filled with your holy presence, may we be prepared to praise and to share. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And let us stand and praise our Lord as we look to our hymn of commitment, Easter People, Raise Your Voices, number 304. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, we invite you to come forward or just speak to me following the service if you would prefer. And as always, the prayer rail is always open for you to pray as we again sing 304. Worship each and every one of you. Please receive this blessing. And now, God, the Easter celebration continues because of the power of the Holy Spirit that is available and for us and leading us each and every day. So may we go in the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the communion and fellowship of His Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen.